welcome to the Classy Ringitar Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. First of all, what happened on WWE? The answer is nothing.
Yes.
If you would like to follow us on Twitter at CRIntire.
We tweet every Monday, blah, blah, blah. Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Stay like, classy and inside, folks. End of the show. Nothing happened this week.
Oh. It was so lacking.
It.
In things.
It did not progress anything this week.
And, like, okay, so here's the thing. During the moments on Monday, I was thinking, well, maybe I'm just expecting more. Maybe I'm expecting some CM Punk explanation, and so that I don't have that, so it feels less. Maybe that's, you know,
right,
an unfair assumption on my part, whatever. But I went back and went,
nothing
happened.
At all.
No progression at any point. And you guys, we are on the road to WrestleMania. And I get that you just hit the biggest speed bump you can possibly hit right now, short of Cena losing a leg.
Right. And, you know, of course, we are on the road, quote unquote, you know, to WrestleMania or whatever. And we know that it doesn't really take into full effect until we get through Elimination Chamber.
Right.
That's when, you know, Undertaker will come back and everything will start taking shape, and then we'll start complaining about how they're stretching it out too much and nothing's progressing after that. Fine. But you still got a pay-per-view coming up.
Yes. You
can at least build up to something. I mean, yeah, we had a cage match and, you know, Cody did something that he probably shouldn't have and didn't get caught, and that probably hurt.
Yeah.
But really, like, the only thing that might have progressed is that they continued this Batista Del Rio thing.
Yeah.
So I guess that's happening at Elimination Chamber. Freaking hooray. You know, no one cares about it.
I don't know. I mean, Batista's in the main event at WrestleMania.
Right. Yeah, so he needs an in-between match, which is funny because Alberto Del Rio had one of those a couple years ago when he won the Royal Rumble. He was, mm-hmm. I think it was Kofi at that point. So basically, Del Rio is the Kofi Kingston of now.
Oh, that's got to be a sad note for him.
But basically, that means he's just in a holding pattern.
Mm-hmm.
A habitual holding pattern.
Yep.
So, which leads to something that's been rumored around.
It has apparently been rumored via the dirt sheets, which, as always, take with mm-hmm. all the salt you can find.
Right.
But, yeah, it has been rumored that Alberto Del Rio is planning to not renew his contract, basically. Right.
Which kind of makes sense, you know, his age isn't necessarily on his side. I think he's 36, almost 37, you know, and yeah. He's had all this success in Mexico. Now he's had really good amount of success in the WWE in a very short period of time. So I understand it. And, you know, they had him in the heavyweight championship picture for a year, mm-hmm. solid, like mm-hmm. either as a challenger or as the champion for a year, constantly.
Yeah.
And, you know, now he's being jobbed out to Batista, and, you know, that's not necessarily the most encouraging thing.
I mean,
so, but I can understand it, and, you know,
I think it's a absolute big fish, small pond kind of decision. Like, right. The guy could return to Mexico today to, again, be the biggest thing
right.
in Mexican wrestling. And, you know, who's to fault him for doing that?
Right.
So, yeah, I understand WWE is the goal, is the, mm-hmm. you go for that, you do that, that's what, you know.
And, you know, kudos to him for adapting the WWE style.
Cough, Sin Cara,
because as we saw, because Sin Cara apparently in Mexico was the John Cena of Mexico, like mm-hmm. he was Juan Cena. And then he comes in WWE, and he does, you know, he has a couple good matches here and there, mostly because of Daniel Bryan, and
yeah.
I think another one that was Evan Bourne that everyone wanted to see, and it was pretty good. Other than that, it was pretty god-awful,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it just, there was only a select few number of people on the roster that could actually have a match with him, and 9 times out of 10, it was Del Rio.
Right. Well, that's the thing, those people weren't Randy Orton or John Cena, so Sin Cara had no options to go up the, you know, list at any point.
Right.
Because Sin Cara was, you know, I don't know how clearly being bred for, but he's probably being bred to be that Rey Mysterio figure.
That's what they were wanting, yeah.
Sell the masks, that kind of thing.
I mean, you know, and I think that's why, well, I call him Hunakara, you know, the Sin Cara of right now. That's why he's probably he has a better chance because he's able to work the WWE style.
Right.
You know? And this is also because this guy was in the NXT system for a while, or the FCW system for a while.
Right,
so, you know, in Sin Cara, he infamously was sent to, I can't remember if it was, I think it was FCW at the time, whenever he first came through, and mm-hmm. he didn't want to be there. He wanted to get moved up. He thought it was, you know, he deserved to already be on the main roster.
Right.
So, there you go. But kudos to Del Rio for, you know, being able to adapt the WWE style mm-hmm. and be, you know, pretty successful at it. You know, I know we give him a lot of hard time because he's not that interesting of a personality.
He's not. I mean,
but you know, you can't deny his ability.
Yeah, you want to play good trait, bad trait with Del Rio. He's got full columns on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he ever struck me as interesting on the mic, and he wears tiny gold pants. But on the flip side, the guy can work a match.
Yeah.
And for the most part, with anybody. You know,
which yeah.
is a you know, gem in of itself that not mm-hmm. a lot of people can do, can go out there and have the same level match. So many people are dependent on who they can go with, who they can pair up with, right. who they can match up with. Del Rio was a lot more fluid, a lot more able to
work decent up. Matches. Yeah, work mm-hmm. decent matches with a lot of guys. It's just we got so burned out of seeing him against Sheamus.
Oh, yeah, no. That's,
and that had a lot to do with our negative feelings.
I think so. I think that whole feud, the whole lack of interest, the whole...
It really made us, like... I wouldn't say we hated Del Rio at that point, but we absolutely went to completely hating Sheamus.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
During that feud.
Yeah, that was the crossing that final I hate Sheamus line.
Yeah.
Was during that. And I wanted nothing to do with Del Rio at that point.
Right.
And I think it was 4 months of continually not clicking with me.
Right. And because... A lot of that was because of that 4 month feud, nothing really happening.
Right.
Nothing happening to justify them going another pay per view mm-hmm. with it, you know? They kept reusing that same footage of Del Rio slamming that car hood on Sheamus.
Right.
And that, you know, that happened, I think, in the first month.
Mm hmm.
So they kept using it and kept using it. And Del Rio kept, you know, they kept having him lose. There was never a title change. So none of these were, you know,
Justified rematches.
They were just rematches just because nothing else. They had nothing else to do.
Right. Right. And that's part of it. It felt.
Yeah. So, it and that's felt not so necessarily devoid his. Of... That's not necessarily his fault. You know, certainly, if both of them had a better personality, maybe. But a lot of that does fall on the shoulders of creative. So you know, yeah. It's not all his fault. So
no,
you know.
I will say, you know, happily within the ropes, Del Rio has put on some amazing things.
Yes.
Above the ropes, he missed the bucket.
Yes. Yes, he did whiff on the bucket, and that will always be that you know, that red pin moment where mm-hmm. just like, oh, there's a mistake right there.
Yes.
You know, but he did have some good matches, even against Big Show on a different pay-per-view. His match against him at Royal Rumble last year,
mm-hmm.
he took some pretty nasty bumps.
Yeah.
That table spot off the staging.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty ridiculous. Like it hurt me on the inside.
and again, I will give him that Ziggler match forever.
Yeah, exactly. A certain kind of guy needed to be in that match against Dolph Ziggler, and Del Rio was the perfect guy
yeah.
to be in that match in that situation, playing out that story.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah.
So.
There you are, Blair. We're saying nice things about Del Rio. Congratulations.
I hope your next favorite one leaves and we'll say nice things about him.
There, this, you know what this is? This is Blair's John Morrison, his Chris Masters.
It is.
This is his version of it.
The guy that never got his due, quote, per se.
But then again, Del Rio was a lot more successful yes. than Morrison.
Well, and Del Rio and came in as champion.
Well, yeah, yeah. They built him already on a pedestal and then he kept going.
Yeah. So, okay, some other things worth mentioning.
Yep.
Triple H yesed.
Yes, he did.
You can read into that what you will. There's some reading of if we give them Daniel Bryan, they won't talk about Punk.
Yeah, and it's a, you know, if you want to play into that a little bit, you know, the crowd was doing their somewhat attempt at a CM Punk chant at that time, and then they basically got them to do the yes chant.
Yeah.
To, you know, dampen that down. Like, yeah. I will give everyone, mainly Randy, the authority, and Michael Cole, they played perfectly into what the crowd was doing.
Yes.
Because Randy, again, Randy's not known for his mic skills, but at that opening promo, when he was talking, he purposely, you know how slowly he usually speaks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people started doing the CM Punk chants, and he speeds up his cadence to not give any sort of pause in between sentences or words or anything, and the crowd died down almost immediately.
Yeah.
Triple H did the exact same thing, because they started up again after they made their entrance, and then got them to do the S chant. And then, you know, throughout the night, whenever they're doing it, Michael Cole and, well, mainly Michael Cole just completely talked over him.
Mm-hmm.
And Omaha being Omaha, they gave up. Like, we've seen great crowds in what they can do. Anytime a crowd is, or anytime someone tries to do or say something that is an attempt to quiet or dampen the crowd, that only makes the crowd want to go louder.
Yes.
Not this crowd. This crowd just, okay, we're just going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was funny to me, because again, we were live tweeting, and then I saw a lot of people on Twitter be like, oh yeah, CM Punk, they're all chanting, this is fantastic, they're taking over. I was like, are you not watching the same thing I am? Like, this is embarrassing for people that want to make this a cause.
Right.
You know, personally, me, I think they're wasting their breath.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you're saying, we want Punk, we want Punk.
And WWE's company, like, we want to.
Yeah, to a company that wants him as well. They're not the ones that left. He is the one that left. You know, the crowd has been cheering for him for a very long time, and yet he still left. So, okay. Obviously, that's not a factor.
Right. Let me ask you this, though.
Okay.
Do you think this justifies a blank check situation? Do you think in any sort of thing, is it worth it to get Punk back by any means necessary on the WWE? How far backwards do you think the WWE should be willing to bend, is I guess what I'm asking here.
It depends on what they have planned for him going forward. Okay. Honestly, if they're going to keep him where he's been the last couple of weeks, if I was WWE, I wouldn't bend too far, because he's there basically to be there so the fans can cheer for him, and, you know, he'll win his match and just move on to whatever. You know, he's kind of in the mid-card right now, and, you know, they seem fine to keep him there, and that's where he's going to end up on 30. He's one of those guys that, I hate to say it because, we love Punk so much, he was going to be one of those guys on the roster that's going to be on the WrestleMania card no matter what. Maybe not even, you know, he might not have that strong of a story or whatever, but he'll be on the card because it's CM Punk.
Yeah.
If they're willing to scrap whatever plans they have, which they can do because it's still very early in the game.
Absolutely.
They can absolutely scrap it and come up with something good, something big, and something that CM Punk will like. Then, if you make him a very integral part of your show, week to week, and especially at WrestleMania, then you gotta show him that you mean it.
Okay, so,
but again, I don't.
For example, like one of the things is, and here's one thing I wanted to bring up. We've talked about, it seems like, and this is again all dirt sheet rumors, right, and all
speculative.
Yeah, again, official statements. CM Punk has made no official statement.
No.
WWE has made no official statement.
Nope.
The closest thing is that then now forever thing.
They replaced him with Kane.
They replaced Punk with Kane.
And then, like, the only people inside the company that said anything, Ryback made a couple jokes about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think JTG might have alluded to it on his Twitter account. And then just before Raw, JBL said, JBL said something on his Twitter like, hope CM Punk does well or something like that, or, just kind of wishing him well.
Mm-hmm.
But, You know, these guys aren't necessarily in the inner circle
of knowing exactly what's going on. They don't speak for the company.
Right.
That's
close as we've gotten so far.
For any sort of real official word.
Right.
For all, you know, for all non-dirt sheet stuff that you know, they just CM Punk wasn't on the schedule. Like, he was backstage the whole time, for all you official word know, and obviously wasn't, but like...
Right.
So everything we're talking about now is speculation and rumors, just disclaimer from henceforth. And there is saying that Vince wants Punk back, Triple H is kind of in a don't even bother mode.
Well, first of all, from all, I'm not surprised by that for a few reasons. First of all, Triple H is too close to the situation. Because, especially if the rumors are true that CM Punk left because
he didn't want to face
Triple H, because he felt like Triple H was a downgrade at WrestleMania.
Yes.
So, it's kind of hard if you're Triple H not to take that personally.
Right.
You know, I'm sure, you know, when it comes down to it, he'll, you know, just, business is business, whatever. You know,
okay,
he'll go by that mantra. But, from a professional standpoint, it's smart to have Vince be the one to handle this, because he's the neutral one. And plus, of those guys, of all the higher-ups in the company, Punk is probably closer to Vince than anyone else.
Yeah.
You know? He said that on numerous, you know, interviews that...
There's a weird begrudging respect there.
There's a weird respect there, and, you know, there's, like, this weird friendship that they've bonded over both being Insomniacs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they text each other at very weird hours with ideas or whatever. Or I think he says that Vince sends them, like, insomnia tips at, like, 4 in the morning sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, but...
You know, so Vince handling this is fine. Like, I don't...
I fully think that Vince should handle this.
Right.
Yes, you can say Triple H got his feelings hurt, basically.
Right.
And that's going to cloud it. But even if that's not true, which I'm sure Triple H would say that's not true,
right,
he just feels that CM Punk showed disrespect
right
to the wrestlers, to the wrestling community, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And that doesn't work for me.
Okay.
Like... I've been really gung-ho about watching everything. It's like, Triple H is, once he starts full running this company, things are going to be good. Look at all these good decisions he made. I feel like opinions on who should have done what, who shouldn't have done what, if you can get CM Punk back, that is best for business.
Yeah.
It just is.
It's one of those things where you kind of have to try to push egos aside for
it. Yeah, it just, you know, however you feel about who should or shouldn't, morality, who stepped on whose toes.
Yeah.
And Vince seems to be willing to do that, and Triple H does not. Because of integrity, or because, you know, even if it's genuinely, he totally gets it. Yeah, you fought The Undertaker, Triple H is a downgrade. If Triple H can, like, step aside from anything and be like, I totally see that.
Right.
I would, you know, I can see where you're coming from, but you don't walk out on a show. And, yeah, I totally get it. You don't walk out on a show like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's something where, like, punishments come at a later time in a later form.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, again, I will forever say I'm deep in the corner of Punk.
Right.
I will, you know, I want him back. I would do that. I would sit there and do the chair. I'd do the We Want Punk chants. Even though I get it, even though I'm like, WWE wants him. I'm not cheering. Right. I'm not chanting people. I want Punk, and that I feel will cloud, you know, emotions for me.
Right.
Over if he should have.
I'm not, you know, when I said stuff like that, I'm not like discouraging people from.
Right.
Doing those chants or anything. It's just personally me, I'm like, that kind of seems pointless. But again, fine. Voice your opinions in any way. And maybe, just maybe, he'll just happen to be watching Raw and see that, oh yeah, these Punk fans really want me back. You know? That's the only other way I can see that actually doing something.
But, so, they can be like, you know, a literal blank check. You name the price that it will cost, in the monetary price it will cost to put CM Punk on the WrestleMania card. Or it can be, you know, it's very possible CM Punk. Now, people that have commented on this, Stone Cold commented on it.
Yeah.
On the Arsenio Hall show, of all places.
That was so bizarre to me.
Bizarre culture clash. But yeah, his basic point was, there are bills to pay, you pay your bills, you can wrestle for X amount of years, don't waste those years being snooty, I did.
Right, yeah, yeah. He did a big comparison between him and him not wanting to do a job with Brock at Raw and just leaving Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, CM Punk just doing the same thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, Stone Cold's advice was basically, as someone older and wiser who did the exact same thing as you have done.
Yeah, don't do it. If this is real, don't do this.
And his big reason was money.
Right.
Which, you know, is a total thing.
Again, you know, that doesn't seem like a big factor for Punk, you know?
But that didn't seem like a big factor for Stone Cold at that time.
Right.
Which, you look at the Stone Cold sensation.
Yeah.
Like, Stone Cold could have gone into his room and printed off his own, you know, 317 shirts.
Right.
And made the rest of his life's money off of it.
Right, right. I think what will appeal more to Punk is more of a change in direction.
Yes.
Change in direction of content.
If they can come up and say,
come up with a better thing for him in WrestleMania.
Come back, you will close out WrestleMania 30.
Right.
Something like that. And do you think that is worth it to get Punk back? Either from a personal standpoint or from a, like, from a personal standpoint, yes, because I want Punk there anyway. Mm-hmm. But from a professional business standpoint,
is that worth it?
Is it worth it to get Punk back?
Absolutely. He's more than proven himself that he's capable of carrying a main event match,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what pay-per-view or what show it's on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he proved that against Taker last year. If you didn't believe it before, you know, his entire year run as champion,
mm-hmm.
you know, the guy is just, he's proven himself that he can do it. So I feel like it would be worth, you know, getting those certain fans on board that are very Punk or bust type, which there are a few
mm-hmm.
that are like that. And I think there's enough of them where I think, yeah, it is worth it. I do think something in the back of my head really does think that they're going to try to dangle Daniel Bryan in front of us to try to distract, you know, everything else. Because that absolutely felt like what they were doing on Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling, you know,
so
we might get this Daniel Bryan thing that we've all been wanting for, and it's going to be so bittersweet.
At what price?
Right, they're like, you got what you wanted. You know, you booed at our Royal Rumble. There you go. You got what you wanted, but it comes at a price.
Okay,
type thing.
So yeah, I got monkey pawed real bad here.
Well, I mean, but at the same time, though, again, I say that, and then I hear myself, and I'm like, but then again, they would want Punk there just mm-hmm. as much as we want Punk.
Yes.
There. You know, not their fault that he's, well, in a way it is.
In a way it is, because
he's the one that walked
thing.
Out. He's right. The one that did something that you probably shouldn't do. It's not the proper way to handle things.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
But then again, maybe this is the only way to get their attention.
Right. Well, and then let me ask you this.
Okay.
So you are basically saying WWE should blank check this. If they can get any way to get Punk back, you know, if there is a, you know, you can get a toe in that door,
yeah.
You do whatever it takes to get Punk back. Promise him money, promise him the closing slot at WrestleMania, promise him a championship again. Whatever it takes.
I don't know if I would say whatever it takes, because I try to be a very much a within reason type person. Mm-hmm. But
you're saying that because closing slot at WrestleMania is within reason. And at that point, what is not within reason?
Right. Well, if that's the case, then yeah. Then yeah.
Okay.
Because again, you can't, as much as we hated once and twice in a lifetime,
mm-hmm.
those were the matches that had to close out Raw.
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania, right.
Right.
There's not that caliber of a match out there right now.
Not yet, yeah.
Not yet. You know, of course, things can change depending on what's what. So they can absolutely build something
mm-hmm.
that is big and meaningful. Maybe a, you know, if maybe Daniel Bryan wins Elimination Chamber and we get Daniel Bryan and CM Punk to close out the show. Two faces or two big guys closing out the show. Everyone would love that. You know, I don't see that happening.
Of course I don't see that happening. But honestly, like, let me just, you know,
I pondered this the other day. I was like, who would really... What is the downfall? What is the honest downfall of CM Punk and Daniel Bryan closing out WrestleMania? Like, in my personal little, you know, whiny on the internet, saying, no, that's the perfect thing, and I couldn't handle it, and right. my emotions, blah. But, like, I feel like everybody likes it. And I don't know who's going to see that main event and be like, well, I was going to buy WrestleMania, but not now.
Let's put it this way. The network goes live on the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What adult wrestling fan will not buy into that if that's the way you watch WrestleMania? What adult fan would not buy that if they announced Punk and Daniel Bryan for the championship?
Okay, so well, in that case, let me ask you this, all right?
I feel like that would do...
You are the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically willing to hand Punk the moon to come back at this point.
Right.
So go ahead, fantasy book, how you bring Punk back. And theoretically, you give him... I mean, I guess you don't have to, and it's your fantasy book. But give right. But I would, I mean, give him the main event, if that's how you're...
Yeah.
That's what you're offering.
Yeah.
So...
You can do it.
I mean,
one logical way to just kind of, you know, gloss over, like, oh yeah, he didn't actually leave, blah blah mm-hmm. blah. Comes back and he starts dealing with the authority again, and then leading to Randy Orton retaining the championship at Elimination Chamber, and then him finally going after the authority's guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's not going to get up against Triple H, the authority guy, you might as well be going towards their face.
Right. Okay. Know?
So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Or...
But what do you have to work around there?
Daniel Bryan.
Or
John Cena.
I don't care about that. And Batista's number one contendership.
There's that. Well, and if that's the case... see, that's why Batista probably should be in the Elimination Chamber match. Take Christian out. You really don't need Christian. He's just going to break himself.
He's just dead. I'm going to be stressed out until he gets pinned.
And even then, you're like, he probably hurt himself. We're probably going to find out later tonight or tomorrow that he hurt himself.
Stressed as he walks up that ramp. Don't slip.
Right.
It's a really solid-looking ramp.
Yeah, I just... And if that's the case, you know, just have Batista win the belt sooner. Mm-hmm. And then have him be the authority's guy. Like,
okay.
They're already putting in, like, planting seeds of... Maybe Randy Orton is the guy that we want, even though they've been talking about that since late last year.
Which is why nothing happened on Raw.
Right, because it's just the same cycle of things for the authority. So that's why it makes sense to have them move on to Batista and then...
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Or you can have him close out Raw and then not be for the championship.
Have him close out WrestleMania?
Close out. I keep saying that.
I know.
Have him close out WrestleMania and not be for the championship. Have it just be a grudge match. Against Daniel Bryan.
Make it an Iron Man match.
effing absolutely.
it's a fantasy book, man.
Absolutely.
I'm just sprinkling on the goodies here.
Your emphasis on the fantasy. Like, oh, dear God. Dragons, wizards, everything. In that case, they can do their best to turn Punk heel and have him...
Don't even try.
Have him...
Like, you guys want to see these guys fight, right? Go!
Right, well, yeah, but, I mean, storyline, you have to have come up with something to justify them facing each other.
For that storyline, I wouldn't even do it. I'd be like, nope, go!
But, you know, if you want to create a storyline around it, have him go the Kane route and just be like, I've been gone for a while, and now I've stop fighting the authority, and I'm joining them. That they're their new guy, and I got to take out this Daniel Bryan guy. Comes in and Elimination Chamber finds some way to cause Daniel Bryan the match and lead to something.
All right.
I don't love it, but it gets him to WrestleMania in the main event, and it gets him against Daniel Bryan, which is fantastic. Or
go ahead.
Somehow we get John Cena versus CM Punk. That absolutely would close out Raw.
That would close WrestleMania.
Like, no.
Why are you trying to close out Raw here, buddy?
I don't know. Just because I want him on Raw every week, I guess. I don't know. That would absolutely
close
WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like something that just needs to happen. Like, almost like John Cena facing Undertaker. Like, we don't really... Like, with that...
Except I really want this to happen.
Yeah, except that we really wanted this to happen. But it seems, like, fitting. Like, why hasn't John Cena faced Undertaker yet? Like, how have they let that slip, you know? So...
Alright. Yeah. Let me explain to you how this should go down.
Okay. Let me recline here.
And just to let you know...
Really take this in.
I've honestly... I didn't, like... cheat think about this ahead. Like, I've just been pointing this as you've been talking.
Good, because obviously I...
Because no.
Because I did the same.
Because sometimes I totally do that on this podcast. I'm like, let me ask you a question that I already have a better answer to. And then you can just listen to me. But no, honestly, like, this came natural to the conversation, so I'm still a little bit making it up. So you hit Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
You have Daniel Bryan win the Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
You straight fanfare it. Like the end of that Raw, which you couldn't handle. Right. You know, you have Daniel Bryan yessing. If he can somehow get on top of the chamber, do that too. Like,
it's a Vince, you might as well try to climb it. Yeah,
fine. Yeah, like it's a full-on celebration kind of thing. Have Triple H come out with the microphone. Congratulations, Daniel Bryan, blah, 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 blah. Mm. And then literally mirror the... end of Elimination Chamber from 2010 when Cena won the chamber and Batista came out and broke down Cena in a matter of seconds and be like, Batista is cashing in his Royal Rumble something now. Comes in, destroys Daniel Bryan. So you're recreating that. You're also recreating SummerSlam. And just eat the hate, because it'll come.
Oh, yeah, because
it'll come, and I know it'll come.
Yeah, this again, yeah.
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 I mean, but eat the hate, because everybody will tune in on Monday.
Yeah.
Open up with, with the what are they called? The authority in the ring with Batista holding the two belts. The boos astound.
Yes.
Triple H tries to explain over the boos, like, you know, well, there's a loophole in the contract. It doesn't have to be, title doesn't have to be convinced at WrestleMania. Randy Orton comes out, this, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You basically kick Randy Orton out of the authority. Mm-hmm. You do some sort of, like, you know, you were supposed to be the diamond, but you are scuffed kind of thing. Yeah, no, you even do the thumbs up, thumbs down thing. Yeah, because 3/4 of Evolution are in there. Right.
And like, Ric Flair is, you know, he signed some sort of deal with WWE to be there for WrestleMania.
Exactly. And I'll get to that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So, you got that. So also, you have Daniel Bryan run down and demand, I am angry!
Right.
And...
probably a lot more eloquently than that.
Of course. And so, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then, you do nothing. And throughout all this point, you have not mentioned Punk.
Right.
On the website, Punk has said nothing on anything.
Yeah.
There's been no public statement that Punk has even left the company. Mm-hmm. It is like it is now. And I would hate it this whole time. And like,
Yeah.
And I'm sure all of you would. I mean, you'd hate it this whole time. Lead up to, I think it's March 3rd, they're in Chicago.
Yeah.
Lead up to March 3rd. Book mostly... mostly matches, almost zero promos that night. Because you won't get promos that night.
No.
It'll be constant.
If they have not acknowledged anything about Punk by then, yeah.
Yes,
absolutely.
No Punk acknowledgement at that point. Booze. And get cocky. Do some kind of boast about how the championship, Batista will defend his championship at any time against anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. And through shenanigans, make it Batista-sided. You know, have the Shield beat up any contender or something, where it's clear they're being, you know, unfair about it. Mm-hmm. So Batista is easily winning throughout the thing. And just, like get the boos to a level
of
extremity.
Or have title defenses against, like, Zack Ryder, Yoshitatsu, or Hornswoggle.
No, it's important that anyone in the back can come out.
Okay.
So, but they get, and even get John Cena to come out and flatten out John Cena with the Shield so that Batista easily pins John, like a big name if you're willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Then at the end of, at the end of the show, the main event, did something happen, you know, and they go, you know, anybody else hit Punk's music, watch the crowd, you know,
come unglued. The,
exactly.
Yeah.
Have Wade Barrett come out.
Okay.
Have that emotional whiplash literally fracture the structure of the building that they're in. And if you ever wanted to solidify this Bad News Barrett situation,
that's the way to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then once you have hit that, have Punk come out like with a run out back clothesline, Wade Barrett, come into the ring, and then like a 20-minute main event, CM Punk returning from basically a mystery absence,
right,
in Chicago for the championship against Batista.
All right.
Pinning Batista, close out your Chicago show with Punk as champion again.
That's early March. That still gives them a month to build towards WrestleMania.
And Daniel Bryan will be able to get rid of the rematch clause. You've ignored it before. Ignore it this time.
Or you can easily take care of that the next week in Raw. Just have him win again.
Or, I mean, you can honestly say, don't have Daniel Bryan ever cash in his rematch clause from winning at the Chamber.
There you go.
He gets first dibs. He gets to go at WrestleMania.
Hmm.
You main event those two at WrestleMania. Meanwhile, you're doing stories of Ric Flair training Randy Orton. And though you can get Ric Flair, Randy Orton corner, and Triple H, Batista corner with some sort of butting heads.
There you go.
You could even have Randy Orton be the one to betray Batista however you want to have him lose the title. If you insist on getting that rematch, do that in the rematch.
Yeah.
Where he loses his rematch opportunity because Randy Orton interferes.
Right.
Leading to that feud
over
at WrestleMania.
I really like that. Yeah.
I know, right?
Why are we writing for WWE?
I don't know, because that's... Basically, I don't know. I might have just made myself sad about whatever happens at WrestleMania.
Because it's not that. Because
it's not that.
Yeah.
But that's what I'd want to happen.
Right.
So.
I like it. I can dig it. Yeah. Good job.
All right, good, thanks.
Yeah, yours better than mine, again. Are you sure you didn't think about that ahead of time?
I literally have not started thinking about that until we started recording this podcast.
All right. Guess I believe you. So, those are various ways of Punk deciding to come back. If he ever does, how we would foresee that going.
Mm-hmm.
But if he doesn't... There are options.
There are options.
My friends. Today is Tuesday. And apparently, at some point today, the Twitter handle for the porn company Brazzers reached out to CM Punk, trying to convince him to do porn for them. And, so, yeah, there's that. And there's a bad one door closes, another one opens metaphor.
Yeah,
that I really don't want to make right now, but I'll save that for Trashy Ring
Attire. This is the moment we choose to plug Trashy Ring Attire.
Yes,
because there is clearly a 20-minute let's make, you know, used to be best in the world, now just the best in China kind of jokes that we could be making for 20 minutes.
Oh yeah. There's like so many things I want to say about this right now, but I'm holding myself back.
We pass it on. We'll listen to Trashy Ring Attire. It'll be there.
This is us handing the baton.
This is why Trashy Ring Attire now exists. It was made just in time because Brazzers reached out to CM Punk.
Yes.
The fates hath smiled upon. We're just reporting the story.
Yes, we're just reporting the story, and... Yeah.
Mm.
I have a feeling he's not going to respond.
No, I don't think so, but...
But that'll be the one thing he does respond to.
Yeah. Of course it will be.
He doesn't say anything on Twitter for weeks, but yet he'll respond to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They're going to have to say something about Punk at some point, WWE.
I mean, they will have to at some point, yes.
It's going to be weird, like, especially if, you know, the first time we hear from him is... his appearance at Allen at Midnight on February 12th,
yeah,
which is next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be a giant elephant in the room, like we put it earlier. Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, it's for my dream thing, it's worth it to the payoff to like literally just not talk about it till then. But
right,
I mean, but since that won't happen, yeah, on it, like I, And WWE's aware of it because it was scheduled around their schedule. Because Miz was at one point scheduled for that.
And it's the same. It was the same week that they were in Raw, or they're in LA for Raw. And that's, you know,
so
where they shoot at midnight.
So WWE is aware that CM Punk is scheduled, and I'm assuming that he's still scheduled to be on TV. They have one more Raw to acknowledge this before that. I assume that they will, and I don't know what they'll do. Like, honestly, if he's gone and he's
unless
just...
there's some sort of agreement where
Punk agrees not to
talk about it, and Hardwick, you know, Hardwick's not really the type of guy that's going to dig into those type of things.
Especially
if they don't want to talk about it. Yeah, then, yeah.
Especially not on a half hour Comedy Central show.
Exactly.
That's not live.
Exactly. So they can just all agree just not to talk about it and just have a good time and make jokes.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with, you know, fine.
I mean, yeah.
But absolutely.
I don't want to have to rely on Comedy Central for my wrestling news.
Right. But they will absolutely have to do something before they go to Chicago.
Yes.
They'll have to.
They will have to.
Otherwise, they will have a complete, like, mutiny.
I don't know what the plan is to...
It is important to point out, there was a lot of reports, I think at the NXT taping and again at Raw, that certain pro-punk signs were confiscated. You know, a lot of people were saying that it was done, you know, very cordially, very politely.
Mm-hmm.
Then there were some poor reports that certain, you know, punk fans were kicked out or ejected. That has been disproven. That did not happen. WWE is not kicking out punk fans for chanting CM Punk.
Yeah.
So don't get caught up in those type of
hype.
Our truth type conspiracies. Theories.
Yeah.
Yes. So there you go.
So we're gonna introduce a new segment here.
Okay.
And it's a segment that was initially envisioned that to be debuted during the Pocket of Suck.
Yes.
Pocket of Suck, for those who don't know, is the time usually reserved for after WrestleMania.
Yep.
There's about 3 months there.
Around the spring.
Right. Where
beginning of summer.
Right. WrestleMania is over, all that kind of build-up's gone, all the part timers have left. And the pay-per-views are mysteriously filled up with rematches of matches we've already seen and things we don't care about anymore.
Now, in the recent years, actually, the Pocket of Suck has been more in the fall.
Right.
So maybe we might have to adjust
the timeline. Let's be fair. We might need to... If it happens again this year, I would seriously like to put, you know, reconsidering the Pocket of Suck time.
We'll just have to come up with a new catchy name for
exactly.
Between WrestleMania and SummerSlam.
Exactly. Well, it's between WrestleMania and whatever kicks off the summer storyline.
Right.
And we haven't had a big summer storyline kickoff like we had, like, the Pipe Bomb and the Nexus Invasion. But we haven't needed it because there hasn't been a Pocket of Suck.
Right.
So, But this wasn't a game, quote unquote, just or a segment envisioned to help us get through that. It's basically called "What's Making Me Happy." So you have to come up with something, preferably in the world of wrestling, but honestly, doesn't have to be.
Okay.
Just something. What's getting you through the week here? For those avid out there podcast listeners, yes, I've clearly stolen this from another podcast.
I had no idea.
Somebody out there mind.
Okay.
I was just going to be up front.
Okay.
But it's
called... You completely pulled the wool over my eyes.
But we'll put a wrestling spin on it, unless there's something else you just want to plug for the day, you know?
Okay, let's see.
Just what's kind of making you happy this week? And this week of, you know, it feels like...
Does that feel like one thing, or can
no,
be...
No, it can be a couple things.
All right, well,
just some good to kind of sprinkle into this, like, oh, it's kind of hard, because there's nothing happening, and I'm bummed about Punk, and, you know...
Well,
I want some good stuff. I want excitement and happiness to be on this podcast.
Well, here's a bit of good news. I realized that I had a whole extra week, a whole extra paycheck before I had to pay rent. So I had some extra money, so I finally got Minecraft for PS3.
Okay.
It's really fun. It's a lot simpler than the PC, and I like PC, but it's a lot more complicated. So, yeah, I've been doing that. Really diving into UFC, finally, thanks to Joel. Really enjoying that. Yeah, and I'm still super stoked for Punk on at midnight.
Punk on at midnight.
Especially with Ron Funches. I don't know, they since they took Miz off the show, I don't know who else is going to be, but honestly, they could literally throw a rock as the, not the man the rock, but actual
I would love the Rock on that. That'd be the weirdest, most
that'd
uncomfortable
be fun,
situation.
He would be great
on that
he's
show.
He's probably above a show like that, but he would still be great. But yeah, they could put a brick as the third guest, and it would still be fantastic, because Ron Funches is a hilarious, awesome guy, And Punk is Punk. Now, of course, you know, the fantasy booking side of me is like, maybe they can get Mick Foley.
Yes.
Or something along those lines. Or if they want, if they still want to go and go with wrestlers, but they would have to get, they would have to get a wrestler who is currently not under any sort of obligation with WWE.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it would have to be Punk, a retired wrestler, or someone from TNA.
Yes. And Punk doesn't like TNA either.
I just thought of a perfect
MVP.
Oh, that would be good.
Okay, what was yours?
Colt Cabana.
Colt Cabana would be perfect.
He would be fantastic. He's hilarious. Following him on Twitter during At Midnight, he's hilarious.
Yeah.
Him or Marty DeRosa, one of those guys. Get one of Punk's friends on there.
So, that'd be good. All right.
Yeah. That's what's making me happy right now.
All
right,
making me happy.
Okay.
One of the new best parts of WrestleMania season is building the slideshow.
Oh, yeah.
And
are you already starting them?
I've started gathering.
Okay.
A lot goes into the slideshow. There's a lot of, you know, the pictures and the and GIFs and et cetera. And
a lot of setups for me.
Yes. And what the slideshow originally was, those are the pictures that were needed. There has been a subsection of the slideshow that is now, that's an amazing picture, so I need to get it in.
Find a way to get it in.
Right, right. There was a picture a while back when the light caught Triple H just right, and he had this beautiful shadow that looked like he had a porn stash on there.
Was that at Elimination Chamber?
I don't remember where it was. I don't remember what WrestleMania.
Like the light was shining up from underneath him?
Whatever it was, yeah, and it hit, and like...
I do remember that.
And so I was like, well, that picture goes in the slideshow.
Right.
And so that was, you know... So, I've started gathering things. The slideshow is not taken. It's still too early to really...
Right.
Especially because we don't have, you know, a match announced a year in advance for the first time in a while. We just know
Batista's going to be there. That's it.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But it's a lot of fun to... This is the really fun part of the slideshow with the blank canvas kind of thing. Yeah. What directions could be taken with the slideshow.
Right.
So, I've started, like looking at that, started to make some folders. So that's what's been making me happy in this wrestling world, is getting to start mapping out this year's slideshow.
Have you come up with any, you know, ways of making
making
me look like an idiot?
Oh, you don't even know. At least two.
Might as well explain it to the people. Every year, if you don't know, we do the slideshow, but there's always these couple of slides.
Yeah, the slideshow, by the way, is for friends that we have who literally just watch WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know, usually girlfriends or wives of friends.
Right.
People who come.
Or just people who just don't watch wrestling. Yeah.
I mean, they come, they enjoy WrestleMania, but there's nothing in between them.
They're more in it for the hangout.
Exactly.
Aspect.
Yeah. Which is cool, weird people, fine. But you whatever.
Know, you know... There's food, they have a lot of fun, you know, more the merrier.
So, but the slideshow, which once started out as a quick 10 to 15 minute presentation.
Has now turned into like 45 minutes.
Yes, it was supposed to be just like, here's real quick, the rundown of the card, who's a good guy, who's a bad guy, what's going to happen? Now it's maybe about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And I make the slideshow and Chris performs the slideshow.
I have to present it.
Yes.
And I'm not allowed to see it beforehand. I'm literally, like, reading it for the first time as I'm presenting it.
Yes.
And so, there's a lot of things where Joel likes to set me up, like, oh, here's Tensai, Sweet Tea, used to be known as Prince Albert. Here's Prince Albert, and it cuts to a very graphic picture of literally... what a Prince Albert is.
It cut to a censored picture.
Oh, censored, yes. But we assume.
You assumed. I just put a picture of a black box on the screen.
In front of a...
Your dirty mind decided what was behind that black box.
Fine. And then there was the first year that we did it was like Shawn Michaels. It was the year Shawn Michaels was the special referee for Hell in a Cell. And it's like Shawn Michaels is the special guest referee. And then I... did something in very excitement and gleeful. And he's like, and then the very next slide was, did Chris just make this face and go crazy over it? Yeah, that's because it's his favorite one. And I'm like, thanks. And then you cut to, Chris's favorite, and you used a picture from his Playgirl shoot.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Thanks, buddy.
That one's for you, Chris.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, yeah, that's been helping me out in my wrestling.
I'm glad, because I, as much as...
chagrin.
As much of an idiot it makes me look, it is a lot of fun. You know, the people there have a lot of fun with it. fine, I'll do whatever for a laugh. I don't care.
Exactly. Exactly.
So yeah, I'm excited to hear that. That makes me happy.
There you go, see?
Let's add to my happy things for the
good,
week.
Good, good. We help each other along.
Happy ring attire?
Happy ring attire. Sure thing. All right. Have we talked enough to make this a full podcast?
I believe we have.
All right.
That's right, it's time for the mail sack. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. It's your Martin Shaw said something about RoboCop, but we're just going to move past that. Q, he asked us, who is the classiest superstar on the roster currently?
Sandow.
Well, he's not really, like, he's just, you know, kind of a
he's kind of a wrestler now. Yeah, I mean, but do you have anybody that's, like, I think residual classiness on him outshines anybody who would be classier, but
now. I mean, I would say Goldust, but he's not even wearing his robes, and those things are super classy.
I know.
He's not even wearing robes anymore. I don't know. This is kind of a bummer.
I really, like, I don't know. I still got to give it to Sandow. Yeah, he doesn't wear the bathrobe anymore, and I haven't seen him sign anything with a feathered quill in a while.
That's the big kicker, yeah.
Yeah. He still does hold his microphone like a wine glass.
You know what? All right. I'll go with that. Yeah. All right. That's enough for me.
All right.
Who is the trashiest?
That depends on if CM Punk does porn or not.
I'll go ahead and say it. Miz.
Miz?
Because he went out and did his airing of grievances on this Monday Night Raw, like, Jerry Springer style, like, just completely baby mama, like, at the color commentary booth, and just like, I don't know why I'm, you know, I'm not wrestling and got these two people out here, and, you know.
But he looks so good in a suit.
Well, he wasn't in the suit when he did that.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he was, at least. I don't know.
I don't know.
It was a Miz segment. It wasn't even a Miz segment. It was Miz in someone else's, during someone else's matches, and he just popped up out of nowhere, got really angry, then stomped off.
All right.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, he wears a suit too nicely, I think, to be the trashiest. But I don't have a better answer for you.
I mean, you know.
Trashiest? Trashy guy. I don't know, like, I'm trying to desperately think of, like, somebody who lived in a garbage can at one point, because I'm like, surely somewhere in the Attitude Era, there was a wrestler that lived in a garbage can.
I mean, there's people who dragged trash cans to the ring.
Trash cans got dragged to the ring, people got dumped in dumpsters, like, but I'm trying to think if that's happened recently enough, or if, like, does Billy Gunn count as an active roster again?
Yeah, I guess.
Can I count him?
He's also the oldest guy on the roster.
He's 50. He's the oldest guy on the active roster.
That's weird. Because he doesn't look it at all.
No, he doesn't. No.
Okay, fine. Trashiest person on the roster? Jerry Lawler.
That's fair. I give you Jerry Lawler.
Pervy. Just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no,
he took a selfie on national television.
Jerry Lawler. I give you Jerry Lawler. Agreed.
That and his weird comeback for Wade Barrett this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won't be saying anything next week. Freaking got him. Right?
Oh, man. All right. Now, as always, you can follow us on Twitter. Please follow us on Twitter. It'd be a great time for you. We live tweet every Monday night. Much fun is had by all. All the cool kids are doing it.
Absolutely.
Oh, at CR Attire.
At CR Attire. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show and talk about on the mail sack segment, send those over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, which is still the easiest way to get this podcast. Yep. You subscribe to it on iTunes. You get it downloaded every single week. You know, you maybe give us a rating of
5 stars.
You maybe write a review. That'd be really nice.
Yep. And if you are listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you, and it would also be included in the mail sack segment.
We also want to take a moment to mention, a while back on this podcast, we were helping sponsor an animated film project.
Some of you did help support that, and we're really grateful about that. And we wanted to let you guys know, just kind of keep you updated on the progress. There has been some animation work. The movie is still in development.
Yep.
But there is a link to a logo, an animated logo, that has been made, has been completed, is available to be viewed online. We will put a link to that in the show notes.
Yep.
So you take a look there. Just take a quick look. It's like 30 seconds long, but it's super cool.
It is. It's very well done.
Yeah,
as well.
It's really neat to see. So yeah, take a look at that when you get a chance. It'd be fun.
Yep.
All right. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.